Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. And I want to thank today's sponsor, Suncoast Credit Union, for supporting this episode and the work that we do, and welcome you all to Education Conversations, an art and design education today. There are so many viable options today for students in their path after high school, and you know, we are definitely big advocates for helping students develop their plan. And in previous podcasts, we've talked about exploring the college prep direction, technical skills, career pathways we want to go into. And today we're going to focus in on a local gem here, and that is how we can look at what an art and design education may bring. And we thought today we'd have the best expert possible to come and join us, and that is Dr. Larry Thompson, who has served as the president for Ringling College of Art and Design for 25 years.
Right, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
I know, it's unbelievable.
It really is. Oh my gosh.
As I said to people, I've withstood the lifespan of a college president about 5 times.
You really have. Well, I know this is going to be a very rich conversation, and I'm eager to learn how it's changed, how art education has changed throughout the time that you've been leading that institution, growing that college for sure. So Larry, welcome to Education Conversations.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to be here and be with you. And let me just say, the one thing for us in our local community, you are a college president. However, you have never gone by Dr. Thompson.
Not really. I mean, it is.
You pull it out when it's necessary.
But it's really Larry. Okay.
It really is. So thank you for just your camaraderie, your approachability, and really, I'm so eager to learn from you about everything that's evolving in the world of your specific college. So I want to start to really first find out a little bit about your own career trajectory, though, because so often life kind of takes us on circuitous journeys. So can you just share a little bit of insight of kind of what, how you started your career and how it brought you to where you are today?
Sure. I describe myself as a guidance counselor's nightmare. So when I went to undergraduate school, I was at a small private liberal arts college in Ohio where I grew up, and I majored in math. I was really good at it, but I really didn't want to do it necessarily as a career. In fact, I looked at becoming an actuary of all things. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But I decided against that. I was also in a student life residence hall advisor, and I really enjoyed that. And so I ended up going to a program in California, a master's program in counseling and educational administration. Because that was when the federal government had money, and so they paid my way, they paid a stipend, the whole nine yards. So I went to LA, graduated from Cal State Los Angeles with a master's degree, and then came back to Ohio and worked for a while in a small liberal arts college, Wilmington College, as director of financial aid. And because I was in the college business, I felt that somewhere I needed to get a doctorate of some sort. Mm-hmm. So at the time when I was in graduate school, it was during the time of the 60s. So I was into all the stuff about what was going on with student rights and legal issues, et cetera. I ended up going to law school at Ohio State University and did well. So then I went to a large law firm in Columbus that represented Ohio State. And then one day I got a fateful call from a new president of Ohio State. He said, I'm used to having a lawyer on my staff. Would you be interested in coming up for temporarily, et cetera, to help us out? I said, sure, more than happy to. 7 years later, I was still there. And, you know, this is how things can happen in life. It's not necessarily all planned out. And so while I was doing all of that, I got a call from a headhunter and said, we're looking for someone to put together the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Now, I knew Cleveland had been selected as the site, and I couldn't believe this guy was calling me about this. And I said, why? He said, well, we've tried to find people in museum administration, way too risk adverse, blah, 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 blah. So we decided to source people in higher ed because it's the same skill set, mm-hmm. raising money mm-hmm. and so yep. forth. Anyway, to make a long story short, I ended up being interviewed. He asked me, well, what about you? And I said, good golly, Miss Molly. So the next thing I know, I'm interviewing, got the job, and was there about 5-6 years of my life. It took it took its toll, but it was a very, very, very difficult project. But it's there, it's wonderful, and so forth. So, yes, there's been a lot of turns
and twists.
That's a
testament to your leadership, though, to have brought you there. And then how did it lead you to Ringling College?
So after being at Rock and Roll, I then got another call from a headhunter to lead this group in Flint, Michigan. It was called the Flint Cultural Center. You know, I kept saying, no, I've seen the movie, so on and so forth. I don't really want to go to Flint, Michigan. But they said, just come out and see this. You won't believe it. So I went, and I remember I was like in shock because it was this 30-acre campus that had 9 cultural institutions on it on one campus.
Wow.
You know, everything from a great art museum to a 3,000 student school of performing arts to a 2,000 seat performing arts center, on and on and on. I was like, I can't believe this is here. But it was created during the heyday of General Motors. It was the home of General Motors. But it was falling apart. Things were going on. So anyway, I ended up going there and bringing it back to life and, you know, having it become an incredibly inclusive place and really serving all the residents of that area and so on and so forth. And, you know, I really wanted to get back in higher ed, and I got a call from another headhunter about this job at Ringling College that had opened up. And I said, well, I'm not an artist. And they said, well, you don't need to be an artist. You need to be able to manage artists and keep them going in the same direction. So I was very fortunate to be selected for that. And so that's how I've been here for 25 years.
Well, it's incredible. And the impact that you've made certainly is well known in our community and beyond. I mean, for sure. But to know that route that it took you, I think the one thing that I heard as you're describing it is you absolutely were showing some great variability in skill sets, but a very continued thread of leadership. Because of you having multiple headhunters reaching out to you, and then to pick things up, to create, to add value, really speaks volumes. And I think we have seen that for sure at the campus here at Ringling College of Art and Design. So kudos to you on your stellar career.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I always tell students, don't think you're going to just go into one area and be there the rest of your life. Some would do that because that's what they really prefer. But be open. Really be open to new opportunities.
I think that brings us to a great question then is, you know, how have you seen the careers change in the graduates from the College of Art and Design? How have you seen that evolve over the years? And what are you seeing many of the students moving into now?
So what has happened is that Ringling, and it was actually before I came here because I had started down this path, really decided that the computer may well become the next paintbrush. And that's precisely what's happened. So when I came, it was primarily a fine arts school. It was, you know, it had graphic design and so forth. But it had been one of the first art colleges to have a computer animation program. And it was created right after Toy Story came out.
Right.
And that was unusual because at that time, not very many art schools had such a program. Now, that was created under my predecessor. But then we, you know, have really expanded it. So we're known as number one in the world in computer animation. But it has evolved to the point that now so many of our majors are incredibly high tech. We still have, you know, fine arts. Mm-hmm. We still have painting. We still have illustration and so forth. But, you know, it's the new majors that are really, really unusual, like, well, not just computer animation, but then out of computer animation came motion design, which is all those things you see before an episode on Netflix or whatever, that all these things moving around in the beginning. That's an entire industry. It's huge. It's huge because it's used in not only TV and movies, but also advertising, et cetera, et cetera. So motion design was one of those. And then we also then evolved into game art because gaming became so important. So game art became a whole nother major that we did. And then more recently, we were the first art school to put together a program in virtual reality.
Wow.
So, you know, we're always at that cutting edge of what's happening in art design.
It seems like when you speak about that, like the whole role of technology, starting with computers, mm-hmm. started the onset. Do you see another major disruptor coming along? Like, what do you see as kind of the next big thing? I mean, you're already introducing AI, I think, right?
Right. So artificial intelligence is scary. I have been talking about artificial intelligence for a number of years. Because my theory is that artificial intelligence is really, really great at those STEM subjects, you know, like math and so forth, mm-hmm. Can do it faster than any human can do it. Mm-hmm. And but what is missing is the whole creativity element, because that's a very much a human element. So I've been preaching about the importance of creativity and that why STEAM is so important for educators in high schools and so forth to be able to work on that. So, you know, and my STEM people were like, oh, yeah, right, sure. But it's coming to pass. But yeah. Even now in the arts, people are worried because they're able to take visual images and make them in different kinds of ways. It's not really very good yet, but it certainly probably will be. So there's a lot of concern about it. But there's also so many issues that are unresolved. Like, what about the whole copyright issues,
right.
Which are not resolved whatsoever? And how can you use this legally or not legally? And so on and so forth. So that, you know, that's why we said, well, it's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So we need to embrace it like we did embracing technology.
Right.
And then include it then. So we offer now a certificate in artificial intelligence, which we think will help our graduates be successful in careers because they're going to have knowledge about all this AI stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And you have certainly been a vocal advocate for the skill sets of creativity and the way it which really can open up so many different career fields and opportunities. And so you've also kind of debunked that myth of the starving artist.
Right.
So can I expand on that a little bit for us? You know, what are the stereotypes that you're trying to dispel?
Well, I have this happen to me all the time where I have parents who come in with their high school student and go, I don't know what we did wrong, but my kid wants to go to art school. Uh-huh. Are they going to be, depends on where they're from. If they're from the South, are they going to be in my attic? If they're from the North, are they going to be in my basement, right? So so I got so tired of that question. And the answer to that is no. I'll tell you what. This is the kind of education that's really needed in order to be able to look at what's going to be happening in the future. And some of that is looking at that advent of potentially AI, because all the logical thinking and so forth necessary and the fundamental, and you need the math, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a math guy, right?
Yeah.
So you need all of that. But the element that's really human is the whole creativity part. So, and you're right, we are all about shattering the myth of the starving artist, because mm-hmm. that is a myth today. Because so many of our students get incredibly great jobs at places like Pixar and Disney and Nickelodeon and major advertising agencies and so on and so forth. So it's a really robust career field. You know, it's a little more difficult for those who are majoring in something like fine arts, mm-hmm. but they still get great careers because our education is so good.
And speak a little bit about how Ringling College has just elevated its status and its reputation across the world over the course of these years because of those programs. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. So our goal is to be at the forefront of what's happening in art and design and sort of being ahead of the curve, if you will. And so that was the reason why that whole idea of putting technology at some of the forefront was really important. So yeah, we really work very hard now, and we're known as number one in computer animation, number one in motion design, number 20 in film. Our reputation has really, really gone worldwide, mm-hmm. and we're very, very proud of that. But our vision is for Ringling to be the preeminent art and design college in the world. Some would say we're already there. I go, well, we may or may not be there, but it's still the goal, okay, of making it the preeminent art and design college in the world. And we're on a fast track to get there.
You really are. And for those listeners who are out there, the reputation is just beyond any one individual, but really a lot is to be credited to you for what you have put forward and planted some great roots that are now just taking wonderful shape. It really is terrific.
Well, thank you. But it's not me. I've got an incredible team of people who make all of this happen.
For sure. Well, if there's a student out there that's listening, you know, what are the things you look for if a student is looking to apply to go to Ringling? What are the characteristics, attributes, or skills that you look for in those aspiring students?
So the admissions sort of requirements are a little different. It's similar to other colleges, but we do not require, you know, SAT or ACT scores because that does not predict success for us. The thing that is unique is the fact we require a portfolio. And so it's looking at a portfolio from a student to find out their innate abilities and whether they are creative and so on and so forth. So that because there needs to be a set of skills before they come to a college of our caliber. That's what we primarily rely on. And, you know, we also look at grades and, you know, all those other things. But the portfolio is a big part of it. You know, we have some students who don't have the access to things to create a good portfolio. So we provide a lot of tutoring and a lot of help to people so that they can, you know, learn how to create a really, really good portfolio. And that's our admissions team is just really wonderful about doing that.
That's terrific. And so if a student was interested, your website, ringling.edu?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's easy enough. So certainly I hope kids will take a look at that. And going to the kind of the attainment then. So now they receive the degree from Ringling College, and you kind of mentioned earlier some of the career paths and companies that are recruiting these kids. What are some career paths outside of like the companies, Pixar, Disney? What are they doing at those organizations? What fields are they going into? What jobs do they look like?
So most people would think it would be like, you know, making one of the Disney movies or Pixar movies or whatever. And it is that. Okay. We have a number of people who are in those industries. And as I said, Nickelodeon, et cetera. But some of them that are a little more unusual was we have like 8-10 people at General Motors. When we don't have an automobile designer, I mean, some other art schools do. And so General Motors came to us and we have this program called INDEX, which is industry experience while you're a student. And they came to us and said, all right, we want to work with you and your students. I said, why? We don't have automobile design. I said, oh, we know. But one of the problems with even people who graduate in auto design is they're not thinking way outside. So we want your students to be incredibly creative and come up with what we think the automobiles might look like in 30 years from now. We did a whole big project with them, and I think about 8 students ended up going to General Motors that year, and they still go. Okay, because of that.
I think it's so great. I do want to touch on that a little bit because the whole element of teaching, shaping, refining, strengthening a person's creativity really is enabling them to be poised for where the future is going. And I think that's where so much we're saying now is unpredictable. We don't know. And yet you have to display that adaptability and be able to think and color outside the lines.
Right. You have to be able to color outside the line. You have to know what the rules are in order to be able to break them, okay?
Yes.
And that goes for any industry. It makes no difference what it is. I mean, we have people in medicine now because of their creativity. And we do believe creativity can be taught. I mean, everybody goes, well, I'm not creative. Well, that's not true. You've not learned how to be creative, okay? So it can be taught. I mean, you know, some people have a more natural ability probably than others, much like, you know, you would with some other kinds of abilities. But nonetheless, it's the kind of thing that is taught here. And of course, it's just all over the place at Ringling College.
Well, and for someone that never had an art degree themselves and could lead an art and design institution, that should speak volumes that, yes, you can be a creative leader and make an impact. So, again, I just think that's terrific. So where do you see the future heading in terms of someone holding an art and design degree?
Well, that's one of those things you just cannot predict at this point. Mm-hmm. But again, I'll go back to my thesis that I talked about in terms of creativity being the new oil. That's the, you know, it's the most important skill set that's going to be required in the future. And that's to be able to think very, very, very differently. And to think of things that have not existed before instead of just improving on things that do exist.
Do you have folks that graduate with your degree that also have that entrepreneurial bent? Because it seems like that would also be a pathway that would be opened up to folks that hold those degrees.
Yes, we have a number who have created their own businesses and have been very successful. And now we're even looking at including it almost within our academic program, because as part of our accreditation, we have to do what's called a quality enhancement plan. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing a whole thing about how we can create an entrepreneurship kind of track for students to be able to learn even more business kind of skills so that they can not just be creative, but also know how to run a business.
That's terrific. And when you look back at your 25 years of leading that organization, do you have a student or a couple of students that really stick out to you as, you know, they really just took the ball and ran with it? Anyone that really kind of is a great testimony to Ringling College of Art and Design and the impact of having that experience?
Well, you know, there are a number, but I'll give you one example. And this is the way I think careers are happening today, or at least it will be even more so in the future, because people don't necessarily stay in one job very long. So we have an alum by the name of Brandon Oldenburg who graduated in illustration. So he wasn't, and it was during the time when computer animation was just being created here. So he did not major in that. But he learned computer animation skills, and he ended up going to one or two studios and doing animation work. And then he ended up creating his own and actually won an Oscar.
Oh, my goodness.
For one of his films that he did, which was so innovative and so creative. It was absolutely amazing. So he is a great success story of someone not even graduating in the major, but then using his creativity in order to create something totally outside of his major that then became an Oscar-winning film.
So that is a really good example to share. So thank you for sharing that. So if students, maybe they're not seniors yet, and they have an interest, though, in pursuing an art and design degree, so they're not quite, you know, at the senior year, what kind of offerings do you may have for high school students?
Great question. So we have a program called pre-college. And what that is, I love pre-college because it's basically 4 weeks that students in high school, most of them in their junior year, you have to be at least 16 years of age, they come to campus for 4 weeks and get the experience of what it's like to go to an art college. Okay, I mean, it is unbelievable. And they get to choose different areas that they get to experiment with, et cetera. I always tell parents, if you have the ability, have your son or daughter go to pre-college. Because I said, it's better to write a small check before you write a big check.
That is truth. Well, what a wonderful immersive experience that, right? I would imagine many of those kids that actually had that opportunity to have that experience then turn around and actually apply to your
and
university.
Apply, exactly. Yeah. And that we find a lot of students do that because it's taught by our faculty. Some other colleges have it, but it's taught by high school teachers. But this is being taught by our faculty. So you get the full experience. You live on campus the whole nine yards and what it's like to be a Ringling student.
That's a fantastic experience. So thank you for sharing that.
Right.
What is your proudest accomplishment for Ringling College of Art and Design?
Whoa, that's a difficult question. So I have a lot of proud moments, but again, it's not me. It's about the people I have with me who are making all of this happen. I mean, I'm not teaching in the classroom, for example, and, you know, but what they do is like magic, okay? In my view, it's magic. And, you know, one of the things I think was to create the infrastructure for this to exist, this kind of creativity and so forth to exist. And so We've built a lot of buildings. You know, we've made the campus very, very student-centric because almost all of our students live in residence halls on the campus. And there's so much to be gained by students being not only living together, but also interacting in the labs together, doing their work, because they feed off of each other and their creativity. So I think creating that kind of infrastructure has been really, really important for it. And trying to raise the money in order to be able to have all that stuff happen.
Well, that's an important asset, but you have certainly made an indelible impact in our community and beyond. So really do appreciate you joining us today to learn more about all the work and value that Ringling College of Art and Design offers. And so again, for listeners out there, if you want to learn more about Ringling College of Art and Design, its programs, majors, or even to apply, again, their website is ringling.edu. And as always, if you want to learn more about the Education Foundation, you can find us at edfoundationsrq.org. So thanks again to Suncoast Credit Union for your generosity and support. Thank you, Larry, for being a part of our podcast.
And let me just say thank you, Jennifer, for all you do at the Education Foundation. You do an incredible job helping all these students who are looking at their future.
Well, thank you. We're all doing it together. We all want to just make our next generation all the best that they can be. So listeners, thank you all for listening to today's podcast. And be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.